Yeah, it's great to see what the Lord is doing. Even within the last 2 weeks, people from the church have come up to me and said, "Oh, this never happens to me," or "I never really get these dreams." But it just feels like the Lord is doing something and doing something new, and we're grateful for that. And we want to just, when applicable, share that with you guys. I'm just going to read the scripture right now. But before I do, anyone here seen any of the Chosen material? The Chosen, any people here seen the Chosen? Anyone never, not even heard of the Chosen? A few people. But the Chosen is almost a modern day video example of the recordings of the Gospels, and so it's great. I haven't seen all of it, but some of the bits I've seen has been really good. And so just like we show a kid's video, or just like the children's Bible that we used to have, the pictures, sometimes imagery really helps, doesn't it? And seeing a video on these things as well. And so I'm just going to read the scriptures and show you a little bit of the video from the Chosen that they've done on this. And you can get it through an app. It's called the Angel app. And I think it's up to 4 series now. And me and Becky are in series 1 right now and really enjoying it. And there's some really, it's ad-libbed, so it's different to what we read in the scriptures. Some of it is word for word, some of it is showing a bit of humor, which they thought, or some of the other stories. But you'll see this story now as I read it. And it says this in Mark chapter 1. It says, "As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them." And Luke's account says that Jesus rebuked the fever. "That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let them speak because they knew who he was." So this is just their interpretation video of that. So watch this.
"The fever spiked. Her forehead burns, my hand to the touch.
We should get a doctor.
There is no need.
Who are you?
This is Jesus of Nazareth.
You've never met him before.
Welcome to my son-in-law's home.
Thank you.
What am I doing lying here?
You had a terrible fever.
And all of you staring down.
Dasha, don't.
No one move. I'll be right back with some drinks.
And be it here and cast off this fire.
Coming.
Let's see. Ryan butter for Simon, pomegranate arrow, goat cheese.
Thank you.
Does your friend like goat cheese?
Yes, I love goat cheese.
I should, see about the goat cheese.
Thank you.
Me? For what?
Obeying and following him. Let him hear.
Simon, nectarines or plums?
A I don't think I'll ever read this scripture now without seeing goat cheese in it as well. So, but it's just a lovely way, isn't it, to show us what it could have looked like and what may have happened around this story. And this, some of the videos that they're doing is really helpful for us. But just so with the verses, it says that as they left the synagogue. So last week, we heard a story about how Jesus taught the people in the synagogue, and the synagogue was a Jewish place of worship, and how they were amazed. They were amazed at his teaching, and almost like he was in the church, if you want to say, but the Jewish church. But in that time then, a guy with a demon, who was demon-possessed, spoke out against Jesus, and it said that Jesus rebuked the spirit, and he cast out a demon with the power of his word. And they were amazed at the authority. And this was inside a place of worship. This was inside almost a church that happened in that, casting out demons inside a building. But then this next story then happens outside. So Jesus comes outside on the streets and then goes into homes. And it says there, it says, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. And again, a few weeks ago, we talked about the story of how he first met Simon and Andrew and how he asked these guys to follow them. And for some of them, that meant leaving their jobs as fishermen. For some of them, that meant leaving their fathers with James and John. And they gave up their families, their livelihoods to do that. But also, they were still in the same area. These hadn't gone to a foreign country. They were still in the same area, traveling round. So they were still seeing their family members. And it says here that they went to Simon's house. And so some things are the same for these guys, but now things are different because of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I find it hard to relate to the disciples, or when we read these things, we see that they left everything and follow Jesus. And for many of us, it's like, well, how do I do that if I work a 9-to-5 job? Or how do I do that if I've still got to pay the bills? Like, should I leave it all? Should I just kind of give it all up and follow Jesus? But for most of us, most people, we are called to work a 9-to-5, to go to school, to live with our families, to pay our taxes, which these disciples still were around these areas. And so for most of us, it's the same, but because of Jesus now, it's different. It's the same, but it is different because we're following Jesus. So in all of our, whether it's our 9-to-5, whether it's our school, our education, looking for work, in all those areas, it's different because we want to please God, because we want to honor Jesus, because we want to love God and love others and love ourselves. So we're not trapped by the world's expectations or by the pressures. It's the same, but it's different because of Jesus. And verse 30 there, it says, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. And so here, just the simple things, when you're a mother-in-law, we find out that Simon was married. Like, again, like we might read the disciples and think these are guys are just maybe 15 to 20-year-old single guys. Simon was married. He had a mortgage. Like, he was looking after his mother-in-law. And the cost of following Jesus then wasn't just on Simon. It was his wife. It was his mother-in-law. It was responsibilities. And the video in The Chosen tries to show actually not just the cost of Simon following him, but the cost of our families, the cost of our loved ones when we follow Jesus, how the impact it is, but how Jesus knows that and understands that and wants us to acknowledge that. And it says that they immediately told Jesus about her. So he's coming over to their house and they immediately told Jesus about her. Whether that was, oh, just to let you know, my mother-in-law is not very well, or we can't go in that room, or it's going to be a bit quieter today because the mother-in-law is not round. We're not quite sure what he said, but they immediately told Jesus about her. And just the encouragement of, for us to tell Jesus about other people. Like, for us to tell Jesus about other people who are not well. Part of praying is almost telling on others. It's almost like telling people what he already knows, but on behalf of someone else, because he wants to be told. Like, that's the reason we have a mouth, is for us to pray and to tell him. That's why we communicate. That's why we have ears to listen. People without faith, get this with Simon and his mother-in-law, people without faith can be healed because of your faith for them. Like, people without faith can be healed because of your faith for them. We can tell Jesus on their behalf. There's so many stories in the Bible. There's one about a guy with the opening the roof and the friends come. You hear nothing of the guy's faith. In this story, you hear nothing of Simon's mother-in-law's faith. It's about people's faith for them, and Jesus reacts to that. They had faith for the mother-in-law, nothing of her faith. It was because they told Jesus about her, and they had faith. And then we read, this is what happens. So he went to her, talking about Jesus, verse 31. He went to her, and the chosen video is Luke's account, but in Mark's account it's slightly different. He went to her, he took her hand, and he helped her up. Luke's account said he bent over and he rebuked the fever. And look at the grace of Jesus here. The mother-in-law didn't say anything. She could have been in a very deep sleep because of her fever, or maybe just resting. We don't even hear her believe anything. I like that part of the video when she woke up and said, "Who are you? Like, who's this guy? Who is this person in my son-in-law's house?" But look at the words here in verse 31. He went to her. Jesus, he went to her. He took her hand. Luke said, he rebuked the fever. He helped her up. All of this happened because he was welcomed into someone's house, and they told Jesus about it. He was welcomed in the house, and he told Jesus about it, and he did all the rest. And just that encouragement of get Jesus in your house. Like, get Jesus in your house in any and in every way. Has anyone here got an Alexa? Anyone here? Come on, put your hands up if you've got an Alexa. I'm not sponsored by Amazon, so don't worry. But Alexas can be really annoying if you've got one. But they can be really helpful. All you need to say is, Alexa, play Christian worship. And she will play Christian worship until you tell her to stop. And so just as a way, or Alexa, read the Bible to me. Or Alexa, what's the word for today? Or if it's synced up to there. And you can get Jesus into your house through that way, whether it's through UCB, there's a free, if you just got Freeview TV, I think it's number 65, there's a channel there. Obviously the Word of God, we've got a Word for Today small reading in our bathroom, and so it's just literally a two minute reading. Whether you've got your phone now and with WhatsApp, and just encouraging people with that. Get Jesus in your house. Like, welcome him in your house. Even if it's difficulty living with other people who aren't Christians, how can you get Jesus in your house? How can you welcome Jesus in your house? And so just encourage you to get Jesus in your house in any and in every way, whether that's a photo on the wall or a scripture on the wall or a calendar. Like, get Jesus into your house. Because these guys got Jesus into the house, and it says there in verse 31, the result is that the fever left her. The fever left her. He just cast out a demon, literally a few minutes, maybe a little bit in the same day. He just cast out a demon. He would soon raise the dead, Lazarus. So he just cast out a demon, which most of us would feel like that's quite some scary stuff. Then he's soon to raise someone from the dead, which most of us would say that can't be happening. But Jesus cares about a fever. Like, he cares about a fever. Demons and raise him from the dead. But he cares about a fever. If we believe him and pray about the small things, then our faith will rise more for the big things. Like if we believe Jesus for the small things, then our faith can rise for more of the big things. As I was studying this, Yayan had a, we've all had this weird tongue tonsillitis thing, but Yayan had it and he lost his voice in the week and he was in pain. And it was quite a small thing, but I said to him, oh, all right, Yay, I'm doing this. Let me just pray for you. And he responded, if I'm honest, like a lot of us might respond, he said, oh, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to do anything. And if we're honest, we sometimes feel like that, don't we? We sometimes, why pray? It's not going to do anything. Oh, I've done this before, and it's not going to do anything. But I ignored my son like I do most of the time. And I prayed for him. And just to show him that even if he didn't feel any different right then, like we want to believe, and our role is to tell Jesus and to pray and have faith. Even if he didn't have faith, my responsibility was to have faith for him and to pray for him. So let's just pray for the little things, not just the big things. Let's pray for the little things. And it says that he cast out the fever, or he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And then it says, and then she waited on them. Like she waited on him. She didn't just get better and then rest. She then waited on them. She was so grateful to be well. She waited on them. She served them. She helped them. She took that responsibility of them being in their houses, and she wanted to bless them. And I love that goat cheese line in the video. But when Jesus heals someone, whether it's in the scriptures or whether it's today in our society, when Jesus heals someone, it doesn't automatically mean that they'll follow him. Like when he heals them, it doesn't automatically mean that they will follow him or that they'll believe in him or that they'll be to church then for the rest of their lives. It doesn't automatically mean that. And Jesus knows that. But it's an act of grace by God, a gift that he wants to point people to him. That he wants to intervene in someone's life and point people to him to say that there is a God, that there is power, that he loves you, that he knows what's going on, an act of grace to bring people closer to him. And then often when someone's answered a prayer or they've been blessed with an answer to prayer, they say, Lord, oh, what can I do? Or what can I give? Or how can I help? Or how can I respond? And for some people, they want to serve them. They want to react by that, but respond to that act of grace. But Luke's account is different to Mark's account, where it says that he rebuked the fever. And that's all we read, is that he rebuked the fever. And the video, he just said, leave her. Like that element of just leave her, the spoken word of Jesus. And John Piper was an American pastor and theologian. He writes this about this word rebuke. He said, Luke wants us to see that this absolute authority and power of Jesus' words extends not only to the world of demons, but also to the world of nature. Surely it's not a coincidence that Luke uses the same word for how Jesus spoke to the fever that he did for how Jesus spoke to the demon. In Luke 4:35 it says, Jesus rebuked him, meaning the demon, and verse 39 said, he stood over her and rebuked the fever. This is an even more graphic picture of how mysterious this power is. You might argue that a demon obeys the sovereign word of God, of Jesus, because he is a rational creature, making up his mind to do so and then obeying. But here, Jesus is talking to a fever, rebuking a fever. What is a rebuke? It's telling someone they've done something wrong, said something wrong, gone where they're not supposed to go, So Jesus says, in effect, fever, you should not be doing that. You don't belong here. Now, the fever doesn't understand anything, Jesus is saying, because it has no ears. It has no brain or no comprehension. It has no will. And it leaves her. It obeys just like later when the wind and the water obey him. And some of us know that story with Jesus in the storm and how the winds and the waves obeyed him when he rebuked them. Do we have any scientific categories at all to explain that kind of power? No. This is the scientifically inexplicable sovereignty of the Son of God over all things, all demons, all nature. That's what Luke wants us to see, the sovereignty of Jesus over demons and nature. And so this is talking about a power, an authority that the world has never seen before, and it's never seen since. And we don't want to just box it in that time. We believe that that sovereignty, that power is still here today, that his word of God is still here today, that his spirit is with us. And that it's not just for casting out demons, but it can be used to cast out fevers and illness. And verse 32, just finishing off with this, it said, that evening after sunset, look at this part, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he wouldn't let the demons speak because they knew who he was. And Adrian explained that reasoning at the end last week. And if you read there, you see that he says that he brought all, these people brought all the sick, all the demon possessed. And he says then, and then he healed many. They brought all and he healed many. There's times in the gospel where he heals them all. There's times in the gospels where he heals a few people, or even singles one out of others. Or there's times where he doesn't heal people because of their lack of faith. In his hometown, he was amazed at their disbelief. And the result was he didn't heal as many because of their lack of faith. So there's times and questions and difficulties that we have today when maybe it doesn't happen, or someone does get healed and other people don't. And there's questions and counseling from that. And maybe the default from that then is safer not to pray. It's safer not to believe. It's safer not to step out in faith. And that can be our default. That it's safer not to ask. And we can just stick to the other things and believe in the, and still go forward in the other things, but it's almost safer not to do these others, not safer not to believe. Safer not to ask. Safer not to step out in faith. And I've heard stories of people who've gone so far that way that they won't even pray for themselves. They're happy to pray for others and pray for other situations, but they've stopped praying for themselves because they just feel like it's safer not to. And there is difficulty with that. There is questions. There is times, even when the disciples, when they couldn't heal someone or cast out demons, they said to Jesus, like, why didn't it happen? Like, what's different? Is there anything wrong with us? Is there anything wrong with our faith? Like, why doesn't that happen? And there are questions, unanswered questions. But I don't know about you, but I was just thinking as even with our boys this week, like, I want my boys brought up in a church, in a family of believers, in a place where they have stories which is like miraculous stories, where like that was just supernatural. Or, Dad, remember when that happened? Oh yeah, Dad, remember? Yeah, when we were younger and this happened. and the faithfulness of us as doing and following the word, but also the supernatural of what is in the word back then. Like, is it still for today? And we believe it is. And like I said, sometimes it's safer not to believe. But we're not called to do that. The reality is we all of us know that we can't heal anyone, can we? We don't have the power ourselves. It's not in our name. But Jesus says that he does, that he went to her, that he held her hand, he rebuked the spirit, he picked her up. Like, Jesus healed her. But the same spirit that was in Jesus is in us today. And so because of that, he can still do it when we act in obedience and faith to him. Like, we can tell Jesus and have faith for others. Even if they don't have faith, we can tell Jesus and have faith for others and pray and rebuke in his name. Not in our name, but in his name. And if as a church, maybe we don't pray for one another or experience healing in our family, then we're not going to do that for others, are we? We're not going to offer that to others. We're not going to pray for others if we don't do that for ourselves either. And so how can we do this? How can we be people of faith? Not just praying for the big things, but stepping out and praying for the little things to encourage us just to have more faith, to pray for the bigger things. And so when it's happening here, it also, when it happens in the synagogue, then it goes into the houses. It goes into the community. Also, Jesus was physically there then. So it says that in verse 32, they brought all the people to Jesus, because Jesus was just one physical person. He could only be in one place at one time. So people's job was to bring people to Jesus. But then he gave his disciples and us authority and power when he died and rose again. And he gave us his spirit, and it's the same spirit, it's the same power. Jesus' name is the same name, the same authority. So, but now it's changed, because Jesus is not physically here in Israel or in Jerusalem right now. Jesus is here by his spirit in his believers. So our job now is not to bring people to a physical Jesus. Our job is to go and make and take Jesus to them. Our job is not to bring people to Jesus or necessarily bring them to this building. Our job is to go and make and take Jesus to people. The same spirit inside of him is the same spirit in us. It's the same word of God. It's the same Jesus. And so from that, like, what are we going to do about that? And I just felt two challenges from this word this week for us. Like this week, and it's going to happen even today. Yeah, I'm sure it will happen if you go outdoor anywhere. Just an encouragement, and we'll pray for each other, that when you meet people in work or on the streets or doing the shopping this week, when you hear them and they say, oh yeah, I've got a really bad cough, or I've got this, or just let's step out in faith and tell Jesus about them. And not say, oh, I'm going to pray for you in our meeting tonight or anything like that. You never read anything like that. You say, right, can I pray for you? Like, let's do it there and then. Like, can I pray for you? The worst they can say is no. And if they say no, you might be like, poof. So if they say no, they say no. If you pray for them, this is my experience, when I prayed for people and nothing has happened in that moment, they're still really grateful. They're grateful because you care. They're grateful because you've prayed for them and you've had a go. Like, they're grateful that you do. So from my experience, it's mainly positive. But also, like, if you, we had it in our home group the other day with Cathy. Cathy's like, oh yeah, I got a bad neck on this side, and we were praying for other things, and then we say, oh yeah, well actually, yeah, let's just pray for Cathy. And we prayed for Cathy's neck then, and So how is it? And she's like, it's fine. And she was nearly crying because it was just like, it happened straight away. The week later, she had a bad time on the other side then, so she's obviously doing something wrong with her neck. But it was just instantly, it was just like, there. And like that was just like, wow, like the name of Jesus. And so just the encouragement, and for us to be just bold and gentle, we're going to have a week full of opportunities where we're going to meet people who are suffering, who've got situations. And let's just say to them, look, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. And you can even blame me if you want. You can say, oh, in church on Sunday, the pastor said we've got to pray for you, so do I have to pray for you? If you want to do that, that's fine. But just say to him, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Like, can I pray for you? And obviously for some of us in our professions, if Kez, for example, in the doctor's surgery, if she said that to everyone, she might not go to work then the next day. But there's professions that might limit us. But for most of us, we're going to find situations where we can do that. And so just let's just do that. Let's just ask God, God, give me just boldness and courage to just pray for people this week. Because if the opposite happens and people get healed and remarkable things happen, then we're going to have stories, aren't we? Like, we're going to have stories and people are going to say that. So that's one thing that we pray for that. But we're going to listen to a song that Theodora picked in response to this. And before we pray out there, like, what we want to do is pray for one another, isn't it? Like, before we pray out there, we want to pray for one another. And so often I'll say to you, oh, if you're not well, for you to stand. But this week is different because we see the mother-in-law, she didn't say anything. So the people, Simon and Andrew, they basically told on their mother-in-law. So what I want you to do today, maybe during the song or straight after the meeting, if you know someone in this room today who's not well, like, I want you to go and pray for them. Like, if you know they're not well, like, you go and pray for them, because you can have faith for them. They might not have the faith this morning. They might be sitting there right now and thinking, oh, I've been there, done that, and I'm not standing. So you have faith for them. Like, you have faith for them. You go and pray for them. And just pray. And just pray in the name of Jesus. There's nothing, like, if you've got a bad cough, Lord Jesus, I just pray now that you'll take this cough out in the name of Jesus. We just rebuke anything that is not of you, and we ask you to bring healing and restoration in Jesus' name. Like, we just pray in the name of Jesus over, aren't we? That's what we're doing, pray in the name of Jesus. And so I'll leave that over to you. And you got to be careful now as well, because when you go in for a coffee later and you say, oh, how's your week been? And like, oh, I got a bad back. You got to beware, because someone's going to pray for you, okay? So let's just pray for one another in this time. We're just going to show this song to just, which wraps up the words in that. And yeah, just to finish off, Daniel 3:16. And we've all had experience with this. We've all had some great moments. We've all had some question moments with this. But for me, the go-to scripture with healing and with miracles is actually in the Old Testament, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were going to get thrown into the fire because they wouldn't bow the knee to King Nebuchadnezzar. They wanted to be people of God and love the God of Israel. And they said, if you don't bow the knee, like, we're going to throw you in the fire. Like, you are going to become nothing. Like, you're going to become ash. Like, we're going to throw you in the fire. And it says this, Daniel 3:16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. And this is the faith part, okay, in verse 17. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able. The God we serve is able to deliver us from it. So that's saying like God is able to heal or God is able to restore. And then it says this, and he will deliver us. He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. So he's not just saying, God, we believe this is for today. We're saying like he will do it. He is able and he will. Then verse 18 says this, but even if he does not know, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of God you have set up. So God is able. They're saying, look, we believe God can free us from this fire. And we also believe that God will free us from this fire. And that's faith. And you kind of think, oh, I will just leave that. But then he says, but even if he doesn't, even if he doesn't, he's saying, my faith in this God does not change. Even if he doesn't, we will not bow the knee to you. Even if he doesn't, I will still worship him. Even if he doesn't, I'll still have questions or concerns, but my eyes will be fixed on him. My God is able and he will, but even if he doesn't, I will trust him. I will trust him. Let's listen to this song before we finish.